welcome to Denver Music Community, where we bring you interviews, news, and reviews from Denver, Colorado. I am Boots.
And I'm Sean. Today we will be discussing Yep OK's newest album and interviewing Skylar Heck from electronic project Feather. But first, the news.
Doghouse Music Studios, a practice space in Lafayette, Colorado, has now become your one-stop shop for everything music. In the last year, they've expanded their capacity to include recording services and live-streamed shows. Owners Liv and Kenny Vasco have turned their largest practice space into a live-streaming stage when many bands asked for a live-stream space at the beginning of the pandemic. They wanted to offer the service as they saw many bands not being able to afford high-speed internet necessary to live-stream shows at home. While bands were paying Doghouse Studios to stream in their facilities in 2020, the owners are looking to obtain sponsorships so instead they can pay bands to live stream in their facilities. Doghouse Music Studios is also starting to offer recording services. As far as I can see, this seems to be a one-stop shop for all things music and the type of place that supports bands. For more information on Doghouse Studios, the link is in the show notes. Now switching gears to something that is not local, but surely of local interest, Bandcamp is rolling out record pressing services. Any album previously released on Bandcamp does qualify for this program. Much like a fundraising platform, Bandcamp allows people to sell pre-orders of their records for a 30-day period, pressing them if and only if the minimum number of 250 vinyl is met or the cost for 250 records is met through adding more tiers with other merch items. It is unclear that when all bands will have access to this service, as they are slowly rolling the service out. According to Bandcamp, 75% of the 50 bands that have run campaigns so far have been successful. For more information, I will link an article from Bandcamp in the show notes. Finally, turning back to local issues, The Know put out an article this week that spoke to local experts about the state of music in the Denver area. According to the article, 4% of all goods and services sold are from Denver's creative industries, which include live music, and total over $16 million. Many are cautiously optimistic that live shows can happen outdoors once the weather warms up, but all say that state and local health outlines will be followed. Some are also considering offering live stream services in the exclusion of or in addition to live events, with some hoping for the return of indoor events in the fall. It is still too early to tell, but there is some optimism in this area as we will be seeing the ramp up of vaccine administration. This month, we will be reviewing Yep OK's self-titled debut album, Yep OK. From what we have been able to find, Yep OK is a three-piece country-western adjacent band from the Denver area.
Yeah, so this album was pretty great. It's a country album, sort of, but it's also an Americana album. There's also elements of funk, there's elements of blues, there are ballads in there. It's just really dynamic.
Yeah, they really do a great job of mixing a bunch of genres together that go well and also balancing that throughout the album so it does not feel like maybe country forward at the beginning and rock heavy at the end. They're intermixed throughout in a way that that achieves balance.
Yeah, and there are a lot of great shuffly songs that kept the energy up.
This album was recorded and mixed at Module Overload and mastered at Colorado Sound Studios. The mix engineer did a great job at making sure that everything was is present and clear in the mix.
Okay. So the first song we're going to talk about is called Looking Muddy.
Listened to this song, I definitely kind of got an alt-rock early 90s feel, and I think, Sean, you said it best when you kind of mentioned Tom Petty as someone you heard as an influence in this song.
Yeah, it has kind of a badass kind of intro, and it made me think of Refugee, I think.
Ah, nice. And one of the things that's interesting is when you listen to the song on Spotify, if you listen to it on your phone, there are some really cool visuals that come up, which I think is a nice touch. I'm not sure how they added them, but it was like a very nice, pleasant user interface experience.
Yeah, so this is a pretty great, like, desert rock song, slow, kind of sinister.
It definitely had a really great shreddy solo bit in the kind of interlude bits, and also I really enjoyed how it kind of ended with some dissonance at the end.
Okay, so the next track we'll be talking about is Jose Gonzalez, named after the indie folk guy.
I drove 1,000 miles past cities and springs, went through dripping up by El Dorado. I saw a mysterious thing, it was snowing. Listen to Jose Gonzalez as I cry. Still balls me up in my tears as I ride.
Yeah, so that song was named after Jose Gonzalez, the folk singer, and it's definitely, you know, pretty literal, as a lot of country songs are. It's just a good, slow country song that's sad, you know, possibly about a breakup.
Yeah, and I think what's interesting to note about this group is that there are three members. Each of them is also a singer in the band. So there's a guitarist, a drummer, and a bassist, and all of them sing. And I think that has allowed them to show a variety of different styles of music, as each singer sings differently and each voice suits a different style. And so this is very different than the last song, and very different from the next song that we will be talking about.
Yeah, and the next song we were talking about, which is the final song on the album, is called Something New. All right, yeah, so that was Something New. That was the final track on the album. This is a, you know, more of a blues song, kind of a beat.
Very traditionally blues in its structure. I really enjoyed this song. I liked the energy behind it, and only really wished that this wasn't the concluding song, that it was a bit earlier in the album.
Yeah, this is kind of reminiscent of Stevie Ray Vaughan, like that kind of style of blues.
Yeah, absolutely. Overall, I think this album is really great. I really like the way that they switch up the style, implement different vocalists, and play to each vocalist's strengths, and really create a unique, diverse, rock, country, funky kind of album.
Yeah, and like we said before, I think this is a really dynamic album. The energy is dynamic. The recording was done really well. The mixing was done really well. And these guys are great musicians. And yeah, so next we will be interviewing Skylar Heck of Feather. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
Can you just tell us who you are and what you do, you know, as far as music goes?
Yeah, absolutely. So my stage name is Feather, and that's F-E-T-H-E-R. That's a whole other story in itself. But what I do is I'm an electronic musician, a producer, a remix artist, a DJ. I make sounds with my computer. That's kind of what I do. Obviously, I haven't played a show in a long time because of, you know, the whole pandemic, everything. But I don't know, when things are back on track and being normal, what I do is I'll do DJ sets around town. I write my own music. I'll play live shows at various venues, and just kind of try to push the boundary with some like experimental electronic sounds more so than anything.
That's awesome. Cool. How did you get started in making electronic music? Maybe how did you get started being interested in making music? in general?
So I feel like in a way it was kind of in my blood. My dad was a musician. He's a phenomenal drummer and always tried to get me to not do that. So naturally that's what I wanted to do. And so I learned how to play drums on his kit when he wasn't home. And from there, he just like walked in on me one day and he was like, hey, that sounds pretty good. And then like closed the door and I was like, oh, okay, I guess we'll keep doing this, but like he can know about it now. And then from there, I played in bands through high school. I did that whole thing. Been obsessed with music since I was a kiddo and started making computer music, electronic stuff. I think when I was like 16 or 17, I kind of got fed up with people letting me down at band practice or not being as committed to the craft as I was. And I just wanted to stand on my own to be able to do all that stuff. So with the magical world of computers, we can be every musician that we need to be, I guess.
Yeah, so you got some pretty good support at home when you're first starting, when you're a kid?
Yeah, absolutely. In a weird way, like a, hey, that sounds good, but I'm not going to tell you that I actually think it's cool, you know?
Cool. Can you tell us a little bit about your favorite venues in Colorado? Not that you had to pick a favorite, but just some of the venues that you like.
Sure. I don't know. I think we're pretty fortunate in Denver in that we have a lot of really cool venues. I mean, some of them are backed by like the bigger names and stuff. We've got the AEG and the AXS with their hands and everything, but we've got some pretty cool small venues, you know, the independent venues and stuff like that. I don't know. Like, to be honest, I don't know if there's really a venue that I don't like in Denver. It's cool for that. I've played a lot of different venues with my genre because like, sure, I've played the Black Box. I've done that whole thing with my electronic stuff and, you know, dark, dimly lit clubs with whatever. And then I've also, you know, I've played at, like, the Skylark. I've had some of my best shows at the Skylark, honestly.
Yeah, was that one of those shows?
Yeah, exactly. And that was a lot of fun. And that was, like, a really pivotal moment in my career. Like, through these small independent venues, I was really able to find my sound, to experiment, to not have to, like, be pigeonholed into a style. And so I don't know. I'd say Skylark. I miss the Three Kings, of course, but you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it seems like those smaller venues may have helped shape what you were able to then play at those more reputable, in air quotes, venues. I mean, not that they're any more really truly reputable, but the ones that are maybe more known.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to be honest, if I hadn't been able to do what I did at these independent venues in Denver, I wouldn't have played like, you know, sold out shows at Meow Wolf. Not that I was the one selling them out, but like playing with Dan Deacon was a huge fucking thing. Like I wouldn't have found my sound if I hadn't been able to experiment at those other places. And I attribute a lot of what I do to that. So I'm very grateful.
Kind of going on from there, who are some of your biggest musical influences?
That's always like the hardest question. It really is. I mean, I love the really intense, really heavy electronic artists. Like I've got a deep love for G. Jones, for example. He really kind of pushes the envelope of like what's danceable, what's EDM and stuff like that, but experiments with the sounds and the way that he does it. And I appreciate that. I mean, I always looked up to Bonobo, for example, and just the way that he's not just an electronic producer. He's a composer. He's a true musician. And like, if anybody's ever gotten to see him live, you really get to experience that. And I've looked to him for that reason. I mean, Toki Monsta is another. She's been a huge influence for me in the way that her music is very floaty, very melodic. But then when you see her live, all of a sudden she just throws down so hard, and it's like the craziest experience. It's really cool. And then there's, I don't know, I like love grindcore, for example. Like I really love like Cloud Rat. I really love The Locust. And so like a lot of that harsh, heavier sort of stuff also, even though it doesn't seem like it in my music, does impact what I do in a way, which is cool.
What would you say that your creative process is like when you're writing songs?
I don't know. You know, the stare at my screen, think I'm a creative genius, cry about it, trash it all, start over, like the typical duality of being a creative, I suppose. But mm-hmm. I don't know. For me, I tend to find inspiration in really unusual places and kind of like create a narrative in my head. I'll name a song before I've even thought about what it feels like. And then I'll kind of create this story. And then as I'm creating the story, I can build the song around that, like what it feels like, how it swells, where it does that. And just, it kind of like keeps like a visual element, almost like a driving narrative behind it, even though it's instrumental music that, that can inspire me throughout the process. It's like a way to latch onto a feeling almost, which is cool.
We've interviewed a lot of different types of musicians, and we had an interview recently with a post-rock band, and it seems like there are similar writing processes in electronic music as there is with post-rock, being both instrumental types of music.
Yeah, it's unusual to try and, like, how do I tell a story? How do I convey a feeling without, like, telling somebody, like, with words, what they're supposed to be experiencing or what it is? Mm-hmm. And it's cool. It makes it such an interpretive form of music to have, like, anything instrumental. And I think it makes it personal for a lot of people, which is cool.
Yeah.
Who would you most like to collaborate with?
Oh, man. Honestly, like, if somebody had asked me this question a year ago, 6 months ago, I would have had a list of, like, my top five artists. I would be like, oh, I want to get Danny Brown on a beat. Like, I'd love to do something weird like that because he's always down for the weird stuff. But, like, I'm kind of at a point now where it's like, I just want to make cool stuff with my friends. I just want to, like, my friends that inspire me, like, people that are doing different things in, like, the local scene, like, somewhere across the country, and, like, with the internet being able to collaborate that way, like, I just want to make cool stuff with my friends. Like,
totally, yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah, I know how you feel.
Yeah, that's kind of it. I don't know. I have a friend of mine in Indiana. He and I have a little secret something we're working on right now in store. He goes by Wajet. He does, like, experimental trip hop sort of things. So we're kind of meet in the middle and do some stuff there. But yeah, I don't know.
How would you say the pandemic has changed the way you approach music, the way you put out music, what you do with music?
That's a big one. There's a lot of ways that I know it's impacted a lot of different artists. Like, I know there's a lot of people out there right now that are just writing up a storm. They're like, there's not a lot else going on. I'm just going to keep cranking out tunes and just releasing song after song after song. But it actually gave me some time to kind of step away from music for a minute and reflect on my own personal life a little bit and kind of dive deeper into myself and who I was. And then through that, I've just been able to sit down and, like, really figure out what my intentions are as an artist. Like, I'm not just releasing things that sound cool. It's like, I really want to put some meaning behind them. And I think the pandemic in a lot of ways has given me time to reflect and not just get caught up in the go to work and then have, like, an hour at home by myself where I can work on music and just, like, constantly busy. It's actually giving me time to, like, not feel forced in my creative process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's probably helped a lot of people in a lot of ways, just write new music.
It's also forced a lot of people, whether musicians or not, to reconsider their lives generally and figure out, because we have all been in this rat race for so long that we forget how much we're kind of on a hamster wheel, and it's forced everyone to just kind of take a breath and maybe reevaluate some things.
Yeah, it's cool. And I see a lot of other people doing that too. So it's neat. I love seeing that everybody just taking time to take care of themselves, you know?
Yeah, for sure. What would you change about the music industry? Any part of it, if you could?
I think, let's see, how should I put this into words? I guess my least favorite thing about the music industry and what I would change if I could is getting rid of the cool kids club. Like, the whole idea that somebody, because they're a promoter or a talent agent or because they know a musician or whatever it is, that puts them on this tier, this ranking of, like, I'm cool, I don't have to pay attention to these people, I can treat people this way, or it's an exclusive club in a lot of ways. I just want, if we could get rid of that and just have people approach music with more of an open mind, more of a listening to it for what it is. Like,
honestly, that's kind of one of our goals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Inevitably, there ends up being cliques, for lack of a better thing to call them. And this is definitely kind of that vein. What we're trying to do is
inclusivity,
inclusive promotion and sharing of different musicians.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I notice that a lot with what you guys do. That's why I super appreciate you, like, taking the time to just really interact with people, really promote, like, individuals and just, like, the collective. Like, you're supporting one musician at a time, but I see you guys through that uplifting the community, and it's really cool. I absolutely admire that.
Thank you. Yeah, so how can people support you? Where can people go to hear your music?
Is this a part where I, like, give everybody my routing number to just direct deposit in my bank account?
Yes. Or you can throw your Venmo handle out there.
Honestly, I mean, it's one of those things. I make music because I love it. Financially, like, that's always kind of a plus. When money comes, that's cool. Bandcamp is a great way to support artists. They're a really great company. I mean, they've been doing the Bandcamp Friday thing, so all the money will go directly into artists' pockets. So you can find me on Bandcamp, buy music, support music, find other local artists, support them there. Obviously, I'm on all the streaming services for sake of convenience, but I don't know. Instagram's probably... Yep. My most used social media, to be honest. I get stuck on there for hours sometimes. I gotta be careful. My handle on most of that is, it'll be the @ and then F_ETHER, instead of the hyphen in my name, and you can find me pretty much anywhere via that.
Cool. And if you wanna send us some links, then we'll put those in the show notes.
Absolutely. Too. Absolutely.
Pretty much all our questions, but you know, since you have this, like, you know, platform now, is there anything that you would like to say?
Oh man, there's always things that need to be said, I suppose.
Right, yeah. anything you're feeling right now that you feel like that you want to say that has to do with...
I don't know. I mean, the only thing I could really say, and I feel like this is a good place to say it, is to take care of your communities in whatever capacity that is, like whether it's your music community, your local like neighborhood, like things like that, like really working with people that are surrounding you, surrounding yourself with people that inspire you, uplifting other people, whether it's, you know, like uplifting Black voices and like, you know, allowing people of color to be heard and things like that, or, you know, just like giving an underdog a chance. Like, the only thing I would say to people is just like, support people supporting you, like create a network, like do the community thing, like kind of like what you guys are doing here. Like, I appreciate that. And I think we're at a turning point where a lot more people are starting to focus on that and like focus on helping each other. And I mean, without each other, there's... Everything's way harder, man.
Yeah. Yeah, we've gone through a lot of collective, you know, things together here, especially lately.
Yeah, this past year has been a lot, especially in the United States. It's been a wild ride.
And for definitely. Sure. All right. Well, Skylar, we really appreciate you coming on.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you for joining us for this month's podcast. You can find all the links to the things we talked about today in the show notes. Additionally, if you like what we do, you can support us on Venmo, Patreon, or by buying our t-shirts. You can find those linked at denvermusiccommunity.com, also in the show notes. We release a podcast on the last weekend of every month. Thanks for tuning in.
Ask me about the weather. Take it.